I'd like to share with you some of my reflections on worship and what I've learned and what I've come to understand about worship. I hope that by highlighting a few aspects of worship alongside something of my personal journey, you'll be encouraged to go deeper into worship. Well, the journey of worship has only really just started for me. I've only recently come to realize that worship is so much more than just singing songs. It's about appreciating what God is really like from the whole scripture, and it's about living a life from that perspective of truth. Worship takes us beyond just knowing about God to a place where we know him intimately, and we allow him to access every part of our lives. Worship then burns within us with a want and a desire to commune with God and partake of all that he has for us. The first aspect of worship that I'd like to reflect on is worship and truth. The primary way we express our worship to God is through singing. But do we think and really engage with what we're singing? Or do we get caught up with the musical style being played, the ripping guitar solo, or the beautiful vocal? Or maybe we go into autopilot worship mode when our thoughts drift off to places like the TV program from last night, What's for Lunch, or the Monday morning meeting. Let's look at one of the songs that we sang this morning, See His Love. The words of the first verse go, greater love no one could ever show, mercy so undeserved, freedom I should not know. All my sin, all my hidden shame, died with him on the cross, eternity won for us. They're pretty awesome words. But do you really believe what we're singing? The chorus continues, this is Jesus in his glory, King of heaven, dying for me. It is finished. He has done it. Death is beaten. Heaven beckons me. God is good. In all he's done and all he is doing, he is worthy of our worship. John 4:23 and 24 says about worship, yet a time is coming and a time has now come when true worshippers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for they are the kind of worshippers the Father seeks. God is spirit, and his worshippers must worship in spirit and in truth. When we engage with God beyond the music to all that God is saying and doing, God does not exist inside a box of musical expression. He is living in us for our good as well as for the good of those around us that he wants us to minister to. We need to see the truth of who God is, and for that truth to move from our heads, to penetrate our hearts, and then to reach our feet so that we can live it out and we are moved into action. This can only be achieved as we abandon ourselves to a lifestyle of worship by allowing the power of the Holy Spirit to live freely within us. One of the greatest hindrances to this happening, to abandoning ourselves to a lifestyle of worship and to living in the freedom that the Holy Spirit of truth brings us, one of the greatest problems is the religious baggage that many of us have grown up with. We need to be able to distinguish between what we have received or come to believe is the right way of living the Christian life and what the Bible really says about such things. In this case, what ideas do we have about worship? Do they come from true truth of Scripture, or do they have their roots in our previous experiences of church? As Dona De Silva says, his truth, true truth, brings true freedom and a greater desire for all of him and all he wants us to have and join with him in. I grew up within church, and it's so easy to become religious in that environment. Often we get caught up with the law rather than the living God whose word it is that we're reading. This can really affect our view of worship and how we engage in it. Worship really is about knowing God and following his lead as the Holy Spirit directs. True worship takes many shapes and forms, whereas in many churches we often get stuck in a rigid and narrow style of worship, which leaves little room for the Holy Spirit. Bill Johnson says in his book, When Heaven Invades Earth, it's difficult for most to follow the leading of the Holy Spirit because we're so limited in our experience of him. Most know him only as the one who convicts of sin or gives comfort when we're troubled. The bottom line is, we are acquainted with a small list of acceptable manifestations that sometimes happen when he shows up, such as tears or perhaps a sense of peace when our favourite song is sung, but few recognise just him alone. Remember, God is good. Yes, he can do what someone classes as freaky stuff or other things that we're not used to, but that's only due to our limited exposure of what God is really like and to our historical misunderstandings of Scripture, which leave us with an unpowered theology, a belief of God who has little power. Thankfully, we've come to realise that God is good. He is always good. He is always good to me. So we no longer have to live out of a false theology that I grew up with, one that would tell me that this trouble I'm going through, be it emotional, financial or physical, is just a way of God teaching me a lesson. That is a truth I grew up with, but this so-called truth is a lie from the deceiver of the brethren. The true truth that God is good. That's full stop. God is good. We need to embrace the goodness of God, to turn away from our old religious habits and hangovers so that we can really learn to worship God. As Bill Johnson says, God wants desperate people, passionate for the things of God. These are the true worshippers. At the Sunday night service a month ago, God whacked me. It freaked me out and messed me up in all the best possible way. We gathered for prayer as we do before each service, and as we prayed, I started to feel a weight that grew so much that I had to drop to my knees. It continued, and I bowed down where a sensation started to happen. I started feeling this pulsating in my hands, and I couldn't control my hands, and I just didn't understand it. The others then prayed for me for more, and I fell again under the weight of his glory. I was buzzing all night. Excuse me. I practiced it lots, didn't do it once. I was buzzing all night and the rest of the week, and I'm still knowing the closeness of the Holy Spirit in a new, tangible way. Yes, it was freaky, and it was good all at the same time. God broke some things off me and over me in that moment, and no one had to pray them away. One of the things he broke was this false religious lie that I had to understand it all. The lie that God doesn't do freaky things because he's so predictable and conservative and all that nonsense. I don't have to operate in that again. I had a new creation moment. God is good. How many times and how often do we negate and diminish God and the things of God because of our having to understand what is happening through our intellect? Please don't misunderstand me. The mind, knowledge and learning is of God and therefore can be good. However, our desire to always need to understand and know what's going on is often linked with a need for control and a fear of being out of control. Benny Johnson, Bill's wife, tells a story of being in Wales and sitting in the chapel and in the very same chair that Evan Roberts sat in when God whacked him. This led Evan Roberts to being used by God to start the Welsh Revival in 1904. Benny testifies that she could still feel the presence and power of God from that time while sitting in that chair. I had to ask myself a question. Will I diminish and not engage with this testimony because it messes with my head? I was remembering that Jesus spat in eyes to make them see. He caused a huge storm to stop. He walked on water, and he allowed Peter to do the same. He caused Philip to be taken away, transported, teleported, however you want to say it, from one place to another in an instant. And Jesus said that we would do greater works. Worship requires us to lean not on our own understanding, but rather to let ourselves be wooed by God. We must not let our own fear of losing control stop us from enjoying all that God wants to do in us and through us. I was coming to church a month or so ago, and the wind was going nuts. The trees were bent till they were almost touching the ground. And as I was driving along, I was praying when I saw this, and I began to voice out to God that I will not be silent and let the trees bend over in reverence and glory to you. I was created to give voice to the rest of creation, and I'm going to sing out, I'm going to live out, and I'm going to speak out my praise and worship to him. In Luke 40, we read that the crowds were joyfully praising God as Jesus rode into Jerusalem on a donkey. Some of the Pharisees wanted Jesus to rebuke the crowd, but Jesus replied, "I tell you, if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out." Let me close with a few final thoughts and some practical suggestions. God is good, and we get to taste and see that he is good. Not so that we can keep it, but so that we can give it away. What an honor it is to be a worshipper of the one and only living God. We need to remember, as Bill Johnson puts it, that God is to be experienced. He's not a theology or a thought. He's a person that when we meet him, we're different. It's about enjoying God for all he is and enjoying all that he has made us to be in true freedom. It's also about enjoying with him to see people rescued, released and restored to all that he made them to be. It's all part of our worship and should make our church life together so much more free, fun and wonderful. To finish, let me give you a practical list of preparation for a Sunday morning. I got this from an article by Holly Jurist in Inside Worship magazine. It's called Wake Up Well for Sunday Morning. Number one, set your alarm. Not crazy early, unless God's saying something, but early enough so that you're not rushed and can slowly engage with the day that the Lord has made and with the Maker himself. Number two, sing in the shower. Start your musical worship in an acoustic setting where everyone sounds good. But it's also where we're non-religiously preparing our spirits to give him all. Number three, say no and say yes. As a singer has to make choices with the right beverages for their vocal cords, so we need to connect with God in all our choices. So say no to TV. Say no to newspapers and magazines. And no to unbeneficial music. Instead, put on worship music or listen to a sermon. Read the Bible. Pray with your wife and or kids or by yourself. Number four, dance and play the air guitar. Go a bit silly or nuts for God. If you want to encourage joy, you've got to have fun. As Matt Redman's Undignified song puts it, "I will dance, I will sing, to be mad for my King. Nothing, Lord, is hindering this passion in my soul. I will become even more undignified than this. Some may say it's foolishness. I will become even more undignified than this. Leave my pride by my side." Or as Bill Johnson says, "You will not learn a lot about true worship until you learn what real rejoicing is like. And you won't know real joy until you rejoice under times of affliction." And number five, prepare your heart and offer your gifts. We are all part of the body of Christ and we all have our part to play. It's about being in a place where God will do so much more with the people who are true worshippers. It is, as I quoted before from Bill Johnson, God wants desperate people, passionate for the things of God. And a final verse to leave you with to help you in thinking about our lives as a whole in worship to God. Revelation 4:11. "You are worthy, O Lord our God, to receive glory and honour and power, for you created everything. And it is for your pleasure that they exist and were created." Let's worship.